Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I begin with excerpts from a poem by Worsan Shire called Home. The poem contains some graphic language and imagery, which I will not quote today. If you want to read the whole poem, let me know and I will email it to you. Home by Worsan Shire. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well. Your neighbors running faster than you, breath bloody in their throats. The boy you went to school with, who kissed you dizzy behind the old tin factory, is holding a gun bigger than his body. You only leave home when home won't let you stay. No one leaves home unless home chases you, fire under your feet, hot blood in your belly. It's not something you ever thought of doing until the blade burnt threats into your neck. And even then you carried the anthem under your breath, only tearing up your passport in an airport toilet, sobbing as each mouthful of paper made it clear that you wouldn't be going back. You have to understand that no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. No one burns their palms under trains, beneath carriages. No one spends days and nights in the stomach of a truck feeding on newspaper unless the miles traveled means something more than the journey. No one crawls under fences. No one wants to be beaten, pitied. No one chooses refugee camps or strip searches where your body is left aching, or prison, because prison is safer than a city of fire, and one prison guard in the night is better than a truckload of men who look like your father. No one could stomach it. No one's skin would be tough enough. I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of the gun, and no one would leave home unless home chased you to the shore, unless home told you to quicken your legs, leave your clothes behind, crawl through the desert, wade through the oceans, drown, save, be hunger, beg, forget pride. Your survival is more important. No one leaves home until home is a sweaty voice in your ears saying, leave. Run away from me now. I don't know what I've become, but I know that anywhere is safer than here. In August of 2019, I went on a bus with a group of pastors and other church people to McAllen, Texas, where we then walked to Matamoros, Mexico. We went to view firsthand what was going on at the border. I spoke directly with persons who had traveled from El Salvador and Honduras, seeking a better life in the United States. As a group, we heard from aid workers who were trying to help these migrants, refugees, asylum seekers, and children of God. We saw a small piece of the problem. On a blazing hot day, we walked from our bus to the bridge. The bridge is exactly that. A bridge that spans a green, murky-looking river, the Rio Grande. To leave the United States across the bridge, we had to feed four quarters into a turnstile. and walked several hundred yards across the bridge into Mexico. We walked through a checkpoint into Mexico, much like a TSA checkpoint at an airport. From there, we walked across the street to where hundreds of tents were pitched at the side of the bridge. The tents were lightweight, nylon mountain tents like the one might use backpacking. As we crowded under the few trees that provided some shade, families would come up to us tearfully and tell us their story and ask us to pray for them. We heard from Anna, a young mother from El Salvador. Her husband had died, and she had no way to support herself and her children in El Salvador. She tearfully told us how she wanted her children to be educated and have opportunities for meaningful work. She wanted to go to Houston, where she had family who could help her find work. She had no money, no way to return to El Salvador. And yet, under the law, as I understood it, her request to enter the country would most likely be denied. We heard from Nelson from Honduras. He had paperwork describing his young son's disability. He was also traveling with his daughter, who he said had been the object of interest of local gangs. He said he had a court date of October 23rd, yet upon further discussion, it appeared what he had was a metering date. The metering dates are when Border Patrol will allow someone across the bridge to then surrender into custody and make their asylum claim. Nelson had been kidnapped twice and his family threatened, so he might have a decent asylum claim. In the meantime, he and his child were having to bathe in the Rio Grande, which was causing a rash on his daughter. He had no money and was living day to day, fearful that the kidnappers would find him. He'd been at the border for 19 days, living in conditions I found almost unbearable for the few hours I was there. The final person I'll tell you about is Edgar. He'd been a cab driver in Honduras. The Honduran gangs wanted 500 lempiras from him if he wanted to continue to drive a cab. When I went to Honduras, the exchange rate was 37 lempiras to the dollar. So that's about $14 they were extorting from him. He could not afford that, so he went to work in the fields for $4 a day when he could find work. Unfortunately, his wife had thyroid problems and they could not afford her medicine. The gang found his house and broke in, seeking the extortion money. His wife was so frightened she had a heart attack and died. Edgar left Honduras in fear for his life and the life of his two-year-old daughter, who slept in his arms as he spoke to us. She turned two on his 22nd birthday, which he had just celebrated in the camp. As we talked to these families, we were told to stay together and be very careful because the cartel was watching us. We were told some of the street vendors we saw selling straw hats were actually cartel lookouts. We were told not to give the migrants money, because if the cartel saw it, they would become victims of robbery, extortion, or even murder. The people we saw were looking for a better life. They were looking for safety. They were looking for humane treatment. No one asked for a handout. Their common goal was to join family in the United States, where they could work without fear and raise their children without gangs. Today's scripture from Jeremiah tells of the prophet's words to the Israelites. He's telling them that they are not living as a chosen people who had been delivered from slavery in Egypt to a promised land, but as selfish, self-absorbed people. The gifts God had given them were being placed in broken cisterns, meaning the gifts were leaking out because they were more interested in hoarding their gifts than sharing them. Our scripture from Hebrews is even more direct. It asks us, no, it requires of us to love in very specific ways. It says, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. End quote. It does not say to show hospitality to Americans. It does not say show hospitality to those who deserve it. It does not say show hospitality to those who look like us. It says show hospitality to strangers. Lest we misunderstand, the scripture goes on to say to remember prisoners who are being tortured. I dare say those migrants at the border fit both these descriptions. They were being placed in a position that would be torture for me. They were strangers who need our hospitality. Are we so concerned with hoarding our own gifts from God that we'd rather put them in broken cisterns than share them with the least of these God's children? Are we so fearful of these strangers that we will ignore God's word requiring us to be hospitable? Are we so jealous of our promised land we refuse to feel their pain? We build walls to keep them out. We pass laws that make it harder and harder to enter legally. We paint the wall black so it will absorb heat from the sun and burn hands that touch it. Certainly, we want a well-ordered process that reasonably assists those in need and does not allow chaos at the border or encourage criminals and drug traffickers. Are we doing that? We call ourselves a Christian nation, yet we allow our elected leaders to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. We allow our leaders to be inhospitable to all strangers in the interest of filtering out the few who would commit crimes. It's up to us to tell our leaders that we want to be a country that God can look at with joy rather than judgment. We want to be a country with hospitality and mutual love rather than broken cisterns and torture. May God show us the way to be faithful to this scripture. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed,